And if the Lord spares my life, I might live long enough to officiate his wedding in the course of time. Are you with me? There are some of you here today that know what I'm talking about, because there was a time when you didn't have nothing. But in the course of time, God gave you something. There are some of you today that want to be married, but in the course of time. Some of you want to have your own children, and it's not happening today, but in the course of time. Some people are brokenhearted, but if you stay with me long enough, you can see what will happen in the course of time. And if you stay with the Lord long enough, you can see what will happen in the course of time. And there's some people crying buckets of tears on the inside. But I dare you to hang in there just a little bit longer, because in the course of time, God can turn your circumstances around, because we serve a turnaround kind of God. And so as I began to look at the text, and I began to dissect and analyze and look into, I began to see some things from Hannah's life that I want to pull out and share with you today. And some of the things that I've seen in Christina and Brian's life also mimic that. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about. Because today, it may not be what you want it to be, but in the course of time. Now, how long was in the course of time? I don't know when Eli told her to, God will grant you your desires of your heart. I don't know how long it took her to become pregnant. I don't know if it was a year, a year and a half, 2 years. But I do know one thing, that from conception to birth took 9 months. In the course of time. Some people want the blessings. Some people want all of the glory. Some people want to have their needs met, but they're not willing to keep a sweet spirit, hold on to the unchanging hands of God, and wait for in the course of time. I wish I had a praying church this morning. In the course of time. And so as we read the text, there's a few things that I want to point out to you, because this text incorporates our vision, which is to uphold and strengthen families. And we're going to do that today in a deeper way than we've been doing before. Again, it's about marriage. It's about husbands. It's about family. It's about praying. It's about church. It's about insensitivity. And as I study the text, I begin to see all kinds of little nuggets that I want to share with you today. That's all part of this act of dedication that we're going to be partaking in a few moments. And so, in the course of time, we noticed that Hannah had been barren. She couldn't have children. But the Bible says that the Lord closed her womb. It says it twice in the scriptures. The Lord closed her womb. And I'm wondering this morning, how many of you are in the situation you're in because it's on purpose that God have you in that particular situation? How many people are in the situation they're in today because it was directed and organized by God for it to be that way? You don't know. So if you fight God on it, you will stay in that situation a lot longer than if you allow him to do what he wants to do. In the course of time, we notice that Hannah discovered that she couldn't have children. And she wasn't looking for children without having a husband. Hello, somebody. She wasn't looking for children without a husband. The Bible says that she was married. And the Bible also says that not only was she married, but she was married to a godly man. The Bible says that he worshiped and he went to the temple and he took sacrifices. I want to just hit you with some nuggets. I believe that marriage is the most sacred institution and covenant relationship that God ever instituted. I understand that there are many who have alternate lifestyles, and I don't put them down in any way, shape, or form. But the best relationship for raising healthy children is a relationship with a man and a woman who love God with all of their hearts and have committed to raise their children in that environment. Everything can't go. There has to be a standard. Everything can't go. There has to be a standard. And it doesn't mean that you love those with alternate lifestyles, or it doesn't mean that you hate them or you are prejudiced against them. No, you love them as God would love them. But we stand on the Word of God, that His Word is His standard. And you live by the standards. I'm not getting a lot of amen, but that's all right. The Word is still the Word. And we notice that she had a husband, and she had a husband that loved her. And I think there's nothing more painful than to be in a relationship with somebody that you don't love or someone that doesn't love you. I'll skip this part. It's not a good thing to be in a relationship with somebody you don't love or someone that doesn't love you. And so the Word of God says that Hannah's husband loved her. And he loved her. And the way he loved her, he demonstrated it, because he demonstrated in such a way that, number one, he led his family to church. He was a godly man. He went to church. And I want to encourage our men that the survey tells us that when a child goes to church, there is a 23% chance that the family will go. If the mom goes, it's about a 47% chance. But when dad goes, it's 92 and above. And so there's something very key and important about a man going to church. This is why I've taken on the responsibility of men's ministry. And Brian, who came into our church, is one of the men that is helping me with men's ministry. And the best thing that he can do for his son is to model a Christ-like life and to love Christina with all of his heart in such a way that when Caleb grows up in that, he doesn't have a choice but to make Jesus his Lord and Savior. If you don't teach him now, and then you wait till he's 21 and you try to implement change, that's not going to happen. I see these folks today. They dress their little kids with them baggy pants, 5-6-year-old kid, and the daughters, low top, cut off tops. And then when they get to 21 and 22, they wonder why he looks like a thug and she behaves like a prostitute. But Elkanah took his family to church. He went to church. He was a worshiping man. And I think one of the most beautiful things you can see in church is a man with his hands raised high, worshiping God Almighty. That's a beautiful sight. Now, as much as he was a worshiping man and a going to church man, he wasn't a perfect man. And I think as we begin to dedicate Caleb, we got to look at our men, look at ourselves, and say, none of us are perfect. And the reason I said is because Elkanah said to his wife, when she realized she couldn't have pregnant, you know, now this is a left side of the brain question, right? I mean, if he'd engaged the right side of his brain, he wouldn't have asked the question. He says to his wife, am I not worth more than 10 sons to you? Who, you know, a smart man would never ask his wife that question. You've been around any length of time, you never ask that question. But the woman is so smart, Anna is so smart, you notice in the text, she doesn't respond. She just keeps praying. That's a godly woman now. One that doesn't give you any feedback. Y'all want me to fix this real good today or what? Can I work with this? We're going to have an altar time after the service for anybody who needs deliverance and confession. And so in the text, we notice that she doesn't respond. She just keeps praying. She doesn't give him a piece of her mind that she can't afford to lose. She doesn't yammer at him. And all the men say, come on, you wimps. I know you're sitting beside your wife, but come on, I have a little intestinal fortitude. And all the men said, amen. Hallelujah. I didn't write it. It's in the text. And this is what I get for being up at 3 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep. I just get these revelations, and I got to share them with you. And we notice that this husband, Elkanah, he asked his wife this question, and and am I not worth more than 10 sons to you? Because you got to understand the context. If in a marriage relationship in the ancient Near Eastern world, if the wife couldn't bear children, that was not a very good thing because the children were the insurance policies and they would take care of the parents when they were old and all these different things would happen. And so to not have a child look like you didn't have the divine favor of God on your side, which wasn't the case with Hannah. But also the husband had the legal right to divorce his wife. So now if he divorced her, she doesn't have children, she has no way of taking care of herself. I mean, it wouldn't happen in today's generation. She'd just go get a job and look after herself, right? I mean, but he could divorce her, and she would not have been able to take care of herself. So he's thinking to himself, you know what, you can't give me any children, but, you know, I'm going to take care of you for the rest of your life. But if you know the heart of every woman wants to experience what it's like to give life, to give birth, to have their own baby, and we go to lengths to make sure that happens. Right, we do all kinds of medical things to help the process because it's important for women to have her own child. And so he's not thinking out of the right side of his brain. He's thinking out of the left side of the brain. Ladies, let me pause there and just let me help you out a little bit. Sometimes I know you think that we get up in the morning and we think of all the left side of the brain comments that we can give you in the course of one day just to annoy you. I want you to know that we don't have to think about it. It just comes natural to us. And all the ladies says,
amen.
So I'm going through the text, Brian and Christina, and I'm thinking about Caleb and the service. Now we're going to tie all of this together. And when I looked at Brian and I thought, man, in the course of time, and I'm thinking about a godly man. After I did my homework, talked to Pastor Lori, and we did the wedding. And we know that this couple has to make a decision now because Brian is going to People's Church. Christina is coming to New Hope. How are they going to figure this out? And so this is the real test of godliness and the heart being right. And so they took some time, and they went back and forth and talked and looked and prayed and investigated and prayed and investigated and prayed some more. But the relationship started with prayer. Now, there's no way you can get into a relationship, don't seek God on it, and then when you start getting your head beat up, then you go to God and say, can you help me? You know, or when things aren't working out right, you look and you call on God. If you want to have the healthy relationship, you got to involve God in the beginning so that when things get rough in the middle, you don't have to introduce yourself to him. He knows who you are. This is not the case with this couple, but Brian came to me and he said, you know, Pastor, and this is how I knew his heart. He said, Pastor, listen, you know, I'm not involved a whole lot of People's Church, and God has definitely given Christina ministry, and I wouldn't want to stand in her way of God using her in the ministry that he's called her to be. It would be easier for me to make the transition and for us to commit to serve New Hope Christian Assembly. I said, hallelujah, glory to God. Brian is not only helping me with men's ministries, he's involved in the sound ministries, and he's involved in the youth ministries. He just doesn't come to church on Sunday involved in religious activity without any lifestyle of holiness. Hello, somebody. He just doesn't come to church and involve in a religious activity without a lifestyle of holiness. We need to pray and ask God to create and to develop men like these who can be an example to our church family, to society at large, and to themselves, and men who will bring honor and glory to God. Amen? So this is what we see in the text. And so I'm going to tie all of this together somehow. And we notice that Hannah was in the situation she was in because God had put it that way. There are many of you today that are in your situation, and I'm wondering this morning if you are barren on purpose. if you're in lack on purpose. And Hannah went to church, and the text says that she looked around and she saw all the other children playing. And see, this is what you get at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking to myself, how do you illustrate this? And I think of the old song, you know, alone after work on the bus, I'm daydreaming. The girl next to me got her son on her lap. My lap is empty. Some gals have all the luck. Come on, you know the song. As we begin to look into the text, she looks around and she sees that everybody else has a family and she doesn't have one. And I say to myself, what does she do? What did she do? And I notice that she didn't get mad and leave the temple and say, well, I'm going to go find another temple where maybe I can find another husband or find some other kids. She didn't hate the kids that were there. She didn't hate her rival, the other woman that her husband took. We're not going to talk about that today. We'll leave that one alone. She didn't develop a poor attitude and a poor spirit. She continued to pray and to seek God. And so I want to say to you that if you have a desire and it's not being fulfilled, don't get jealous of other people. Don't get mad at other people because God is blessing them. If you do what they do, you might get what they get. And she sees these children and these families, and the Bible says that she's tested and she's teased and she's provoked by this other woman that her husband married, because in those days, if a woman couldn't give her husband children, she would have one of the maidservants become his wife. And we see Abraham and Sarah trying to do that, and people trying to create Ishmaels, and then they end up into trouble. I want to encourage you today to keep your heart right, because when she is teased by this other woman, she doesn't have a knockdown drag out in the church. She doesn't cuss her out. She doesn't become bitter. She doesn't become angry. What she does is she continues to pray. And I want to say to you that you have to turn it over to the Lord. Whatever you've got going on that's not working for you, turn it over to the Lord. She continued to pray. Now, there are three times in the text where we notice that she was insulted, or she was treated in an insensitive way. Number one, her husband says to her, am I not worth more than 10 sons to you? Her rival is poking fun at her because she can't have children. And when you read the text, it says that Elkanah took both of his wives to the temple, and both of them sacrifice before the Lord. So I want to pause there for a minute. This is what you get. I want to say to you, for those of you who don't go to church regularly, you will find insensitive people in the church. People who go to church, they pray, they bring an offering, but they're still mean and they're still vindictive. But you can't paint every Christian with that brush. 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 And so we noticed that when her rival was making fun of her, it was an insensitive thing to do. Even though that lady was in church and at the temple giving sacrifice and worshiping God, there's a lot of people who come to church whose hearts are not right. But it's a good place for them to be anyway, because it's a place where God can touch them. Everyone in church is not saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But that's okay. The church is supposed to be a hospital where broken, hurting people can come with their issues and their baggage. And it's a great place to bring the garbage, because God is in the business of collecting garbage and recycling it and producing something good out of it. That's the business that he's in. And so we notice not only that her husband was insensitive to her, not only is her rival, the maidservant, is the other wife is insensitive to her, but sometimes you can even find insensitivity from the pulpit. Shocking. Shocking. Can you believe that? This is not confessional, but I'll just give you a little bit. She went to church, And she's praying, and her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. And what does Eli the priest say? Stop drinking. Do you ever stop and think, why would a priest say something like that to someone in the temple? Maybe he drinks. Maybe he knows what happened when he drinks, right? Possibly. It's probably happened before. And he's probably, because the temple used to, not like church, after 2 o'clock today, this building is going to be locked up tight until tomorrow. But the temple in those days were open 24/7. It was open all the time. You can come and go and pray. So no doubt he saw different kinds of people coming in. Probably some drunk guys probably came in at one point in time and saw them mumbling and not saying nothing. And so he'd probably seen a lot of shady characters come in the church. Listen, you'll find shady characters in the church. But here's the thing. Sometimes because we see a lot of negative things from the pulpit and from the congregation, we tend to prejudge people a lot. So, for example, here's one of my weaknesses. Someone come in a church and they say, Pastor, this is the best church, the best sermon I've ever heard in a million years. Man, you're the best thing since sliced bread. You're clean. You're put together. I'll be with you forever. You know, I'm with you all the way. And in my mind, I'm thinking, give him 6 months. And then let's have this conversation. But right away, because we've seen that before. If 10 men came into my office and said, Pastor Sion, I want to see you. I've got a problem. Right away, I can diagnose 3 main issues that those men will have. And chances are, 99% of the time, I'm right. Because you see it so often. And sometimes we can become judgmental and prejudging people without having all the facts. The correct thing for Eli to do would have to walk up beside her and say, Sister, now I noticed that you're mumbling and no words are coming out. Is everything okay? How could I help you? But right away, he accused her of being drunk when she wasn't drunk. Let me pause there for a little bit. Sometimes when people don't take the time to find out who you are, they come to conclusions about you that is not true. When people don't take the time to find out who you are, they come to conclusions about you that are not true. And so I want to encourage you today, let's not judge people because we don't know what they're going through and what God is doing in their lives. If anything, we come alongside of them and we pray for them and we encourage them and we support them. But let us not become judgmental and hypocritical in any way, shape, or form. And so we noticed that she never got mad out of any of those 3 situations. Again, what a godly lady. I mean, if my pastor said to me, hey, man, looks like you've been drinking when I haven't been drinking, I'd tell him something about himself, you know. And that's just me because I love Jesus, but there's a lot of work to be done in me, okay? She didn't hate. She didn't get mad. She didn't get angry. But the Bible said she just poured her heart to the Lord. Point number 2, Anna was barren on purpose because that was what God had for her. Number 2, Hannah bargained with passion. And I'm not going to spend a lot on this, but it's important. We notice in the text that she wanted a child real bad. But she didn't just ask for a child. She asked for a male child. Can I tell you something this morning? If you got a need, I want you to not just ask for any kind of need. If you want a car, There's a sign on the screen this morning that says somebody driving a Lexus. If you want a car, Lord, just bless me with a car. No, Lord, I want a Lexus, a red one, a CRX, whatever. What's the license plate there, Doug? I'm going to claim that one. And she didn't just ask for a child, but she says, I'm asking you, Lord, for a male child. And if you give me a male child, I will give him back to you. You have to ask yourself, I'm starting to think like Eli. Maybe this lady is on something. Because she wants a baby. She doesn't have one. And she's making a covenant with God to say, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to petition the throne room. I'm not going to give up. I don't just want a child, but I want a male child. And when I get this child, I'm going to give him back to you. All the days of his life. Have you ever made those prayers? Lord, if you just get me out of this one little situation, I promise you, I'll serve you till I die. And then the Lord gets us out, and then what happens? until we have the next situation. And Lord, if you just help me with this one situation. Well, Anna sets a very good example for us, because when she does conceive and gets pregnant, and faith without works is dead, as I've told Brandon and Christina many times. Thank God they listened. And we see that she gets the baby. And after she's finished weaning him, in the course of time, she brought him back to the temple. And if you read the rest of the text, the Bible says that she would dress him up like a priest, even as a baby. And he was so special that even as a child, he even began to hear the voice of God in the temple. This is what I want to say to you, parents. Whatever you want for your children, dress them in the part, declare it over them in the part, speak it over them, believe it for them, read it to them, impart it to them. Just fill them with whatever you want them to have, because when they grow up, they'll begin to start to manifest those things that you prophesied over them. I told you last week, when we keep telling our children, they're nothing, they're nothing, they're nothing, they come 21 and 22, and guess what? They do nothing, because we told them that all of their lives. But if you are one of those persons that have received negative information over the course of the years, I want you to know that there must come a time in your life where you can no longer live based on what someone told you, but you've got to take responsibility for your own actions and your own behavior and make correct choices. We have too many individuals in our society who keep making poor choices and blaming mom and dad and grandpa and grandpa. Yes, they may have gone through some horrible experiences as children, but at some point in time in your adult life, you must stand up and take responsibility for your own actions. So we find in the text that when Christina was praying for her husband, and I do this with the single ladies, and I said, make me a list of what you want, and I'm going to join and pray with you. And so Christina was, he's got to be 6'2", 220, blue eye or green eyes, I can't remember. She said, okay. She said, okay. Can somebody take a look in Brian's eyes for me? Brian, can you stand up for a minute? She prayed. And she got exactly, or very close to exactly, what she wanted. And I want to say to you, the same can be yours if you'd implement the system of praying and believe in God. She was barren on purpose. She bargained with a passion. She just didn't say, Lord, give me a son, and went and watched TV. She was in the temple. She continued to pray, petitioned the throne room, trusting God, believing God. She didn't get mad. Listen, can I pause here for a minute? I have a very good friend today. He and I have been buddies for a long time. And he's single, and he wants to find a wife real bad. And he just leave me alone, please. He wants to find a wife real bad. So he recently, about 6 months ago or so, maybe a little bit more, left his church because he wanted to go find a place where there's going to be lots of young women that he could have a possible wife. Because he didn't feel that if he stayed in his church, God is big enough to give him a wife in the church that he was in. So he told his leaders that he was going to go to another church where there's lots of young people, and he was going to go find a wife. So I connect with him every so often. We go for coffee and stuff. And he, you know, said, man, well, how's it going? You know, like, how's the search going? And he began to tell me some things. That guy has now submerged himself into pornography. He's involved with prostitutes, and his life is going backwards. And I say to him, man, you know, this is what happens, because you think that by leaving your present congregation and going someplace else to find this ideal woman, that what you said to God is, God, you're not big enough to bring this person to me wherever I am. And I want you to know that when Brian met Christina, she didn't have to leave New Hope to go, no place else, to go find Brian. And Brian didn't have to leave his church and go anyplace else to find Christina. But God brought them together when they committed their lives to worshiping him and honoring him. And God used events to bring them together so that they could enjoy the kind of relationship that God has for them. You didn't hear me. When you leave and say, well, the temple and the church, and you say, well, I'm going to go someplace else where my needs can be met. What you're saying is God is not big enough to bring me what I need right where I am. And when you do that, the enemy comes in and says, oh, I'll give you what you want. Hannah never left the temple. She was in the temple praying with passion. She wasn't bitter. She wasn't resentful. She wasn't jealous. She was just praying to her God. Complete focus. In the course of time, God opened her womb. In the course of time, her prayers were answered. Number three, God blessed her with a prophet. When Samuel came on the picture, and I'm wrapping this up real quick now, Israel was led by judges. And it was the transition from judges to a king and to prophets that was taking place. Now, his mother didn't probably know this, but because of her faithfulness and her praying over him and for him, that he was a part of the transition. Who was the person to tell Saul that he was no longer king? Who was the person to anoint David as king? It's Samuel. When she was pregnant, did she know that? In the course of time. In the course of time. In the course of time. We notice in our text that even as a baby boy, Samuel began to hear the voice of God. Parents, I want to say to you today, Brian and Christine, I want to say to you as well, you pray so that your son hears you pray and teach him how to hear the voice of God. If you don't hear the voice of God, you can't discern when he hears the voice of God. He might be hearing some other voices. And I want to say to you, teach your children how to hear the voice of God, but you also need to know how to hear the voice of God. Because if you don't recognize it, you can't. The priest Eli, when the boy says, Eli, did you call me? Eli was smart enough to say, it's God. He's talking to you. Listen to what he has to say. He was a big part of the transition of the leadership of Israel. And as we look at Anna's life, I'm reminded of the scripture in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And as we talk about giving, we're not talking about your money and your possession. We're talking about the condition of the heart, because when the heart is right, giving naturally flows out of it. And the Bible said that when the boy was weaned, she brought him back to the temple and she left him there. But that is not how the story ends, because the Bible says in the course of time, while she left Samuel in the temple and he ended up becoming a priest, this woman who was barren that couldn't have children, God gave her three more sons and two daughters. In the course of time. Now, she could have done it her way. She could have gone and tried to do it her way. But her life would have been a mess. And there's some of us this morning, our lives are messes because we've been trying to do it our way. I'm not expecting too much amen on that one, but it is the truth. Many of us, our lives are a mess because we've been trying to do it our way and not God's way. And when we do that, our lives become a mess. God's plan in making her womb close was not to hurt her or to embarrass her, but to simply amaze her. And the God that I serve wants to amaze each and every one of you by the marvelous things that he wants to reveal to you and show you what he can do. It is better to be in a storm in the will of God than to be on a sandy beach outside of the will of God. And in these verses, I see a woman who knows the Lord on a personal level. She had a personal relationship with God. Relationships take time to develop. One with God takes time to develop. One with your significant other takes time to develop. It requires time. In the process of time, you ask a happily married couple what's the secret for their marriage relationship, and they will tell you, in the process of time, they've learned to figure out and to understand and to rub off the rough edges. And sometimes we want the beautiful relationships, but we don't want the requirements to make it happen. But you can't have the blessings without the requirements. She had a personal relationship with God. She was a believer and she was openly active in the practice of her faith. She saw the invisible, and because she was able to see the invisible, she was able to do the impossible. Her womb was closed, but her mind was still open. Her womb was closed, but her spirit was still open. Her womb was closed, but her spirit was still sweet. Her womb was closed, but her heart was open to the things of God. I wish I had a witness this morning. Her womb was closed, but she was ready to give birth. Her womb was closed, but she spoke life over her ovaries. And they began to move, and they began to develop, and they began to produce life. Her womb was closed, but Samuel was ready to be born. And I wonder if I had a praying church this morning. Your womb might be closed and the door might be closed, but get ready to give birth, because something marvelous is about to happen. And if you can hold on to God's unchanging hands, and if you can look beyond your external circumstances and see that the good hand of God is with you and that has been with you over the course of time, you can look back and see where He's brought you from. You can look at where you are today and begin to thank God that you're not what you used to be, but continue to believe God to take you where He wants you to take Him. Yes, some time ago Christina walked in, and then one day Brian walked in, and then one day we had a wedding, and then another day we had a baby. But in the course of time, 5 years from now, you don't know what God is going to do, but you can't get mad, you can't get angry, you can't leave the church, you can't give up on God. You got to keep your spirit sweet, you got to have the right attitude, you got to come before God and said, I don't understand this, but I'll keep my hands in your hands. And if you will walk with me, I will walk with you. And step by step, in the course of time, we will get to where you want us to go. But I got to keep your hands in God's hands and watch what He does. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. When I look back over my own life, and I said, God is nobody but you. When I look at where I came from, I said, God is nobody but you. But I'm just not satisfied to be where I am. I'm looking forward for beyond and more with expectancy. But I'm holding on to God's hands. Try to keep your spirit sweet. Try to stay in the right mind. Try to walk with God. Try to talk with God. He's yours and you're His. And if you stay close with Him, there's nothing He would withhold from the throne room of heaven that has been designed for you. In the course of time, whatever is designed for you will be yours. Nobody can take it away. No devil in hell can stop the plan of God. No arrogant woman in church, no insensitive priest, nobody can stop God from doing what He's declared to do over your life. So look at your situation and say, God, I don't understand it. I don't know why I'm still single. Don't know why I'm still not pregnant. Don't know why I can't find a husband. Don't understand it, but God, you are mine and I'm yours, and I'm going to stay with you all the way. Because in the course of time, God can turn your situation around. Hallelujah, somebody. Because He's a turnaround kind of God. He's a turnaround kind of God. Brian and Christina, bring Master Caleb over here. In the course of time, Sandy and Doug and the family, would you gather around? And let's wrap this message up with this act of dedication to the Lord in the course of time.